Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 419. If you'd like to have a copy of it, we'll show you how at the end of the program. Sharon will tell you four different ways you can receive either a CD or a audio tape. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling. We have some singing. Both these songs that I sing this evening are things that most people don't understand the titles. I'll try to explain it to you in just a few minutes. We have strong message, testimonies, and a Bible reading as well. But first, before we get into that, all these Bible scriptures, I like reading the Bible and telling people what the Bible really says, because, I hear so much twisting and turning of the scriptures, and people telling each other, that you can just sin after you've been saved. But what kind of a God would that be if he didn't condemn sin? He would have no righteous basis for judgment. Okay? So, in other words, God has a basis for judgment. And at judgment, if there's any sin on a person's soul, the Bible says that you won't get into the kingdom of heaven, because it doesn't make any difference if you're a born-again Christian and you're a sinner, or if you're a just an out-and-out heathen sinner. Actually, it's worse for you if you're a born-again sinner than it would be for some person that is not born again. The Bible says that judgment shall begin first at the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
So what does that mean, that God's going to judge Christians? Yeah, the Christians that say that you can sin and after you've been saved. In Romans 3:9 it says, are we better? And Paul is saying, are we better? He says, no, we're no better. Are we better? We is referring to Christians in Rome at that time, but he's talking globally, all over the world. Are Christians better than the heathen? He's talking to these Romans at this time that received the letter. Christians do not have a superior status with God if they sin. Okay? Mm-hmm. Has it ever been explained to you that way? No, you don't have any superior status with God. Judgment begins at the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
He begins. That's where the Lord starts judging first. Okay? Have you got 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17? If Christians begin sinning, they will be more guilty than the people in the world that had never known what sin was. How do we know what sin is? As we look at the Ten Commandments. And if you say the Ten Commandments are over with, well, then why is God going to judge everybody? Amen?
Amen.
The quick and the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So all those who are under sin are enslaved to sin, dominated by sin, and no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead and read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17.
For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Right. Well, there's so many people that are supposed to be Christians that are obeying not. He's saying us, where he's referring to those of us that keep the commandments. If judgment begins with us, where does a sinner, a person that thinks that because they said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, wash all my sins away. And, this is, what good would judgment be? Why would God, a righteous God, start judging people? So if God condoned sin, he would have no righteous reason for judging. If he condones sin,
Amen.
Right? What's he going to judge? He himself would have to be judged. Amen?
Amen.
For all these scriptures that say he's not going to let any sinner into the kingdom of heaven. You people, you know, I say that these the people that are in these false religions, they flee to false religions because they don't want to confront the actual true word of the true living God. The true word of the living God says that judgment begins first with the Christian sinner. Amen?
Amen.
The real sinner, like Paul and Apollos and the people that really believed in the living God's word and trembled at the thought of committing a sin, judgment begins with us. The Lord judges whether we stand before the mercy seat of Christ or whether we're going to stand before him and be slung into hell and the lake of fire. But remember, all of God's ways are judgment. He's going to judge you, and he's going to judge me. And Paul says, are we better? Are we so good that we can get by with sin, is what he's saying. Do you think we can?
No.
Well, that's what the Bible says, is no.
Amen.
Okay? Because the house of God is going to be judged first. And God knows how to weed the people that say they're Christians and sin away from the people that really don't sin or the people that are secular or natural sinners. If you're a natural sinner, you've never heard the word of God, judgment is going to be horrible for you. But it's going to be more horrible for the person that knew the truth and then said, we can sin and get into heaven. What you're saying, actually, is that God is a liar. And as I mentioned in yesterday's message, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord, the righteous judge, the God of all judgment, everything he judges. He's judging everything. Some people say, oh, are you saying that God is just watching us? Yes, he's watching everything. He's the atoms, the molecules, and he's knowledgeable of whether you're... He doesn't want to snap you into hell, but he says... He knows that we have a will, and he wants to know if we're going to be like his son, Christ Jesus, to say, my will is to do the will of the Father. For man survives not by food or alone, or bread alone, but man survives hell and the lake of fire by hearing and doing every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we ask that you anoint this service today. Pour out your Holy Spirit. You're not a ghost. You're not the Holy Ghost. You're the Holy Spirit. And there's translations that say you're a ghost, but I know you to be the Holy Spirit. Shakespeare got a hold of the Bible and he flowered it up by saying ghost because he thought that would be more frightening to people, I guess, ghost. But you say you're the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit moved, not the ghost moved upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, and then all the things that you said, Father, happened. The heathens say that the earth was started millions of years ago, but they're lost. And the heathen, or the dead, they're dead in their sins and trespasses, know nothing. The dead know nothing. What do they know? But they won't listen to the people that you've actually sent into this world. Lord, I pray that you open their ears, their spiritual ears, and their hearts, and their spirit to receive the ingrafted word. Because there's no way that people, they keep running to religion to avoid the true and living God. All religions are false. We must be saved. Salvation is on the agenda, on the menu. Lord, as you said, we must be regenerated, reborn into the spiritual realm, and you're going to judge all those that are not born again of the Spirit, and they're going to be sent according to your word, and it's impossible for you to lie, die, or fail. According to your word, all those that believe not the gospel will be, this is called doubt, and all doubters shall be damned. Those that believe shall be saved, and that's believing the whole word of God, because Christ is the entire word of God. Lord, let the word of God begin in the people's hearts in the world today, that their sins can be forgiven, because they believe you rather than the Antichrist, the world government, and its cult, and the media. We ask that you do that, Father, that the soul, their souls can be saved, and that people, they love to drift away from your word because they think that keeping your commandments is too hard. No one can keep your commandments if they haven't been born again in the Spirit. If they don't have you in them, no one can do that. But with you, we are more than conquerors to do so. We are more than conquerors to do all things in Christ Jesus, to keep ourselves spotless, without spot or blemish, without wrinkle, without sin, that we may be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of Jesus, where he's married to his bride. His bride is the church. Your bride, Lord Jesus, is the new Jerusalem. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and that the church be strengthened in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now the Crystal Mountain, the Bible, there's metaphors in the Bible, and the Lord says that every mountain shall be leveled. And a mountain is symbolic of a nation. God's going to level every ungodly nation in this world. And the only nation, the only mountain, in other words, or nation, that shall be standing forever and ever is the Crystal Mountain. Now, the Crystal Mountain means the invisible nation. The invisible nation, and here I am to sing for you, the invisible nation, Crystal Mountain.
There's a crystal mountain higher than the eagles fly, where love is flowing like a fountain, where the soul will never die, and it's free.
You will find there are worth more than
Love is more than precious gold. Yes. There isn't anything to compare to eternal life. Gold is of no value. In heaven, gold is a put down. The streets are made of gold. Amen?
Amen.
You walk on it. You don't get greedy over it. You just walk on it. It's like the gutters and the streets, even though heaven doesn't need gutters, but the curbs, the gutters, the streets. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we have a couple of testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. This is from a general there, right?
A colonel.
A colonel?
Yes.
Oh, well, okay, I thought you said general. Well, it's just a general rule then. Okay, what? He's a colonel in what army?
In the Nicaraguan army, and he's also broadcasting your messages on radio over there.
Praise the Lord.
Says, beloved brother, for a week I have been uneasy praying for the health of my beloved pastor, Tony Alamo. I hope to receive a response and to know how you are doing and how your health is. Here in Nicaragua, we are praying for the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries worldwide and for its pastor. In fact, because of the literature we have received, we feel we are a part of this worldwide ministry. We have distributed the literature in the Nicaraguan army. I hope you will write to me and let me know how you are, if you are receiving my mail. I have been receiving the literature and music tapes. I would like to receive Pastor Tony Alamo's music on cassette with him singing country gospel songs.
Well, we just played one right there, and then we're going to do another one. The Great Speckled Bird at the end of the program was J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. Okay, then what?
God bless you, Pastor Silvio from Nicaragua.
Okay. You know where Nicaragua is? Where is it? Where? South America?
Central America.
Central America, that's right. We used to have a church in Central America. And, we still do have people there that are. There's one right there, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then, what? Do you have another one?
Yes, from Coahuila, Mexico. Dear beloved brother Alamo, I am praying that God will strengthen you more in the work you are doing for him.
I pray that everybody prays that, because we're under constant fire from the devil. And I really appreciate all of your prayers out there, those of you that are praying for me and my health. You know, a person gets up to close to this next September, I'll be 73 years old. I'm a young 73, though. I work out and I eat pretty well, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
No candy bars, no sugar, none of those kind of things. And I don't eat beef, because the Lord said don't eat beef or dairy. Now, I'm not trying to destroy the beef or dairy industry. I used to love steaks probably as well as anybody, but that's what he told me, and everybody in the church followed me in that, what the Lord tells me to do. And they say they all feel healthier, and there's not hardly any flus. Once in a while, they get an earache from swimming or whatever. But it's better to do what the Lord says. It takes so long to digest steak, and we don't eat any hamburgers, no beef at all. And there's something wrong with it. Otherwise, why would the Lord tell us not to do that? And so don't eat any sweets, dairy, or beef. No pork, of course, or no snails or crabs or lobsters. Those are actually ocean insects. Now, you don't have to. You probably turn me off to Bozonuk if you like those things, but really, yeah, they're not good. They're not really considered food. Any kind of food is okay if it's food, but abominations like pork and that kind of stuff, or things that the Lord tells you not to eat, is bad for you. And you could eat what you want, but you're going to pay the penalty for it. You're going to die young. I told my brother, I really love my brother Danny, and he just passed away at age 70. And I told him, don't eat beef. The Lord told me, because he's laying in bed with cancer and an aorta operation and four bypasses and a bed broke. His back was all messed up because he had something done to it where he had to have it bolted together and the screws fell out and he felt all kinds of pain. I said, don't eat beef or dairy, man, because I don't want you to die. And it'll clog up your arteries with that bad aorta and heart. And then cancer got into his lungs and then into his brain, and then he died. Man, that's unbelievable. Well, I found out that he had people bringing him up banana splits, ice cream, and that they were bringing him up hot beef sandwiches. Well, I love hot beef sandwiches and all that nice brown gravy and everything. But I have to put the knife to my throat to not eat that stuff, because the Lord said, if you eat right and exercise, you'll live another 40 years, more than what you ordinarily would have lived. And so I haven't always done that at first, but then I realized, hey, you know, that my health, I was starting to get, my body was starting to get weaker, and so I started doing it, and now I'm getting stronger, okay? So, but I need prayer, because the devil's attacking us from every side. And I'm not telling you that it's a commandment for you to do that. I would if I were you. And we don't take aspirins either, nobody, because the Lord said, if aspirins are stronger than me, so far as healing a headache or anything, then go to work for the aspirin company, okay? Go for the strongest one, whoever you think is the strongest. Okay, and if you don't have the will to give up certain things, well, you know, and you really shouldn't eat more than, say, 3.5 ounces of chicken or three, and it should be white meat and turkey, because any more than that, you're going to get too much protein and you'll gain weight. And some people think that just eating protein is good, like this protein powder. There's years ago, there was like people were eating just protein powder, and it ate their kidneys up, and they died. And so you got to eat food with protein also, amen? You got to have some carbs, carbohydrates. And I've been in the health studio business for, off and on, for well over 50 years. And I do know what I'm talking about, okay? Because I've trained with Mr. Olympias, Mr. Americas, Mr. Universes. As a matter of fact, those type of people used to come to our grand openings, like Mickey Hargitay, Jane Mansfield, Steve Reeves, Clancy Ross, and all these big muscle people back then. And, you know, I know what they eat to keep themselves strong, and none of them drank milk. You don't have to go to me to learn about health, and I see these different health people on these Christian programs talking all about that kind of stuff, and a lot of the stuff, they're absolutely wrong. And people are buying their books, but, you know, we're supposed to use our Christian television or radio broadcast to preach the gospel, amen?
Amen.
And so that's what I do, but I know that there's so many people that are being led astray by these Christian broadcasts where they've got these supposed to be health experts, and they're too young to know anything. They look so young that you'd have to almost go there to blow their nose. You know, here now, blow. All right? Then what?
I'm also writing to let you know that the literature you sent us has been distributed in hospitals, on job sites, on the streets, in the towns, in the plazas, etc. Many people have been blessed. Children in hospitals sick with leukemia and other sicknesses have been healed. Even adults sick with cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, fractured bones, and other sicknesses are now healed. God's power is being manifested wonderfully. To Him be the glory and thanks. The members of our congregation know in their hearts that we all can be used by God, and they do the work with thankfulness and with a good disposition, because they see how the Lord is using them to heal, to set people free, and to speak the gospel. Nevertheless, brother, we are in need of your assistance. Our congregation is growing in a rural area where the economy is not good. But thanks be to God, we have grown in number, and now we have more laborers, for the which we request your help in sending us 1,000 pieces of literature, 30 Bibles, and a large white T-shirt, because it is an honor to wear one. It is an honor for me to have communication with you, and that we're both working with Him. It's a pleasure to work with you. God bless you. Linda from Coahuila, Mexico.
Praise the Lord. All right, now that we're going to the third chapter of the book of Romans, we started there, and I've been trying to get it done, but the Lord takes off on, say, one of the verses, and I never get too far into the chapter. It starts out, again, what advantage, in other words, what head start, then, has the Jew? Does the Jew have a head start on salvation than anyone else? Yes, first to the Jew, and then to the Greek or the Gentile, all different Gentiles. So what advantage or what kind of head start did God give the Jew over the Gentile? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Now, circumcision, outward circumcision, is of the Jew. Well, the Lord gave the Jew a head start because it was to them that the oracles of God were given. See, it says that what a head start was there? Much of a head start in every way. Chiefly, the main reason was because to them were committed the oracles of God. Now, the truth of salvation in the Old Testament and about the gospel. So the truth about that, of the salvation in the Old Testament, 2 Timothy 3:15. We read that yesterday, but I'm just going over it briefly, so let's hurry and get that. 3:15, have you got it?
Yes.
2 Timothy.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Which...
Because the Holy Scriptures was the only Bible they had back then. So from a child, he's talking about the Old Testament. He meant the utterances or oracles of God. 1 Peter, okay, just keep reading that, finish it.
From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay, well, all the Scriptures pertaining to Christ Jesus were in the Old Testament. I've written a book called Messiah, and to condense the Bible for you, you can read that and receive salvation. Entire towns have received salvation from that book. It's a booklet. And so when, now you can also read Galatians 3:8 real fast. That's the truth of salvation in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament had salvation. First, they were saved because they ate the lamb. In other words, the Lord said, I am the bread of life. So that's what it means when he says, you must eat my body. And my body is the entire body of the Old and New Testament. He said, so you must consume the word of God and drink my blood, which means that you have to receive it into your blood. Like when the Lord, we receive him into our heart, into our spirit, then that's the beginning, and then we have to let the word continue, which is, the word is spirit and life, he said. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. So when you drink the blood, that means that you let the spirit grow in you until your actual outward body. First, the inward man is built up by, first of all, the Bible says that Jesus is like a seed. He's sown into us. And it seems like the smallest of all things. People have Bibles laying all over their houses. I mean, almost every house has a Bible in it, but nobody opens it when it's the most important thing in the world. It's the most important seed. It's like the grain of mustard seed. And then it grows up to be a large tree within you. And then, because it's you're eating the body of Christ and drinking the Spirit, what happens is the Spirit... My words are spirit, and they are eternal life. So you keep drinking the blood, which is the Spirit of God, And that tree, the mustard seed, grows into a big tree inside of you where the birds, the fowls of the air, this is symbolic, can lodge in it. All right, what happens is when Christ is living in you with his Father by the Spirit, then, and he's so full in you that your actual body, the outward part of you, this is the inward growth in you, to where your body becomes one with your spirit inside, and your body begins doing what the Spirit not only wants to do, but the Spirit is doing, so that the Spirit and your body are one, and you're doing, you're actually allowing the Lord God to maneuver your body wherever he will. Okay, so your body and soul, your spirit, become one. And when that happens, that means you're not sinning. So that when your body is doing what the Lord says, well, then you're doing the will of the Father. Now, the Lord said that my will, I don't do my own will, I do the will of the Father. My meat is to do the will of the Father. Well, if your mouth is not under control of the Holy Spirit, then no man can tame your tongue or your mouth. And so it has to be under the dominion of the Holy Spirit. So it's good, exceedingly good for you to do what the Lord says. It's just like the Lord says. When we or ask people to give tithes and offerings, now, you know, I don't really preach this a lot, but I have to. If you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. Now, say, if you have $1 million or whatever you've got, I know one thing that I tithe all the time. So I don't just let the Lord in me support this work, but I have, whenever the Lord... I see a need for different people on television, or I get a lot of people writing in for a need, and the Lord has given me the money, I send it to them. Like, I sent $10,000 a few days ago to the... And you know what it does? It comes right back many times over. Amen?
Amen.
So, but if you take the seed or money that you should plant, and you... you just use it for yourself, then you haven't sown anything, and therefore you can't reap it. So the thing is that you are not doing yourself any favor at all. If you want to multiply your finances, or if you have a bag full of corn seed in your house, or any kind of seed, and you just eat the seed, you cook it up and eat it, then... what will you plant in your garden? When harvest time comes, you'll go out there and look in the field, and there will be nothing there. What I'm saying is that the promises of God are true. His word is true. His promises are all true. He said in order to have a harvest, you have to, there has to be a time to plant. Amen?
Amen.
And then it's that time to sow. And then if you sow and you take care of the plant, well, then you'll be able to reap and eat. You put one seed in, you're going to get thousands back. Amen?
Amen.
I've planted corn seed before, and when I planted it, up came this little sprout, and then I just watered it more, and it came up, and here all kinds of ears were on it. And there was so many... seeds or little kernels of corn on each cob that it would have made me weary to count every one of them. Amen?
Amen.
And when you do what the Lord says, you're not doing me any favor. You know, you're not. You're doing yourself a favor. You're the one that has to plant if you want to reap.
Amen.
And so if you're all jacked up, if there's something you don't have, well, maybe there's something that you've never sown before. So the Word of God is spirit and it's life. And if you do what it says, then you're going to have a harvest. Otherwise, God is a liar. And no, you are a liar. You know, every man is a liar, but God is the true one. So you're not doing me any favors if you send me any money, or if you send anybody money. But if you sow it into a work of God that you know is the true, it's got a good crop, there's millions of souls being saved in that work, and there's no false doctrine in there. Because false, if you're sowing to false doctrine, you're going to reap corruption. Amen? Those who sow to corruptible gardens are going to receive corruptible fruit. Amen?
Amen.
But if you sow good seed into the earth, into good earth, and you weed it and make sure that it's watered and get some sunshine, you're going to have a great crop. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you're doing yourself a favor. And I would be very negligent towards you if I told you not to. There was a preacher on the air today that said he knew somebody that came to the church and said that they had only 25 cents and could he help them with some food and things like that. And I do that all the time. I do help. But I also instruct them with the Word of God. So he says, he said, how much have you got? And he held out a quarter, and he just took the quarter out of his hand and said, I'm doing this so that you'll reap a harvest. Well, no, it's got to be with the willingness of the heart. If you snatch something out of somebody's hand, that isn't them being willing. Amen?
Amen.
So to me, that was heresy.
Amen.
So, I mean, when the Lord says when people are hungry, give them to eat, that's tithing, okay? I'll do the tithing because I want the blessing. If you don't want any blessing, then don't tithe, okay? Because God's work is going to be done anyway. If I have more than I need, I'm going to tithe it out to other works. I've given to works, where I know they're doing a good job, but they may be even preaching heresy. But if they're building water wells for people that don't have any water, I'll send them thousands of dollars I have, and I continue to do so. And that's just, or if I hear them preaching the true word, I'll send them some money. I mean, and I'm not talking about $1 and $2 and $5 and $10. I send them really no less than $1,000 to $10,000, $20,000, okay?
Amen.
Because money does come in here, and people that do tithe, they get a tremendous blessing for it. So the truth of salvation and the truth of everything is in the Old Testament. Okay? So we read 2 Timothy 3:15, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the truth about the gospel in its basic form, read Galatians 3:8. The basic form of salvation actually is the Old Testament. Salvation is in the Old Testament all the way through. It is from the tree of life to the actual, all the prophecies showing the coming of Christ. The bottom line is we must eat from the tree of life, which is Jesus, that which is the Bible. The truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the Word of God. So to believe on Jesus means that you're believing on the Word of God, not somebody's version of it. And why is that? Because there's no two interpretations of the Bible. In other words, there's no private or another interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so just believe what it says. And if you don't know what it says, ask me, not these heretics, okay?
Amen.
Because I'm not out after your money. I'm telling you, if you want to increase, there's a woman in the Old Testament that all she had was enough for a cake for her and her little boy, and then they were going to die. And what she did is tithe this cake to the prophet Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
And he said every day that she tithes the first cake to him, that she, her oil and her meal would never decrease. So what you sow, you'll reap. So she sowed the cake to him, and here she had enough for her and her son until the drought was over. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so tithing, That right there is the example of tithing first to the house of God, and then her son and her would have enough food in their house until the rain came. And remember, the rain was stopped for 3.5 years. Amen?
Amen.
Because of the curse that God put on the earth. All right, but God supplied Elijah with food and lodging. And in the turn, Elijah, by telling her the word of God, got her to where she received her food and continued her lodging for her and her son. Amen?
Amen.
She was a widow woman. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what? Okay, this is Galatians, the basic form of the gospel, Galatians 3:8.
And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith.
Okay, it said that in the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
He would justify the heathen by believing God's word, like Eve didn't believe God's word. And so she was not justified. Okay, all of humanity had to die because of her, that she was not justified. Now, she's the first woman and the first man and woman, and they were cursed. Amen?
Amen.
So what do you think? These were his little prizes, the Lord's fair-haired boy and girl, and he cursed them.
Amen.
Because they didn't believe him. They believed the devil, the same devil that is in control of the one world cult church, they call it church, government, and the media. So you have to take a choice whether you want to be cursed with Eve or do you want to be blessed through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But the word, the whole word of God, by believing God instead of the devil. Okay, go ahead.
And
Galatians 3:8.
And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached.
Yeah, even you people out there that are unbelievers, if you believe by faith, in other words, the word of God, instead of the satanic cult in Rome, the one world government which the Rome controls, and the media, if you believe God rather than them, then what?
And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying...
Even the gospel was preached to Abraham. That's going back a few years, amen,
amen,
before Christ ever came.
Amen.
Or the Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then what?
And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed.
Right. In other words, because Christ would come through Abraham, Isaac his son, Jacob, Isaac's son, which was called Israel. In other words, salvation is coming from the Jews. Amen?
Amen.
The oracles of God. So when the world's greatest Jew came into the world to die for the sins like Isaiah said he would and all the other prophets, Moses and the prophets told that he was coming to die for the sins of the world. Salvation. So, what advantage did the Jews have? What head start of knowing these things had the Jews? They knew them way back in Abraham's time. Amen?
Amen.
So, when Paul said, preach the word, in other words, preach Jesus, the entire word of God, he meant the utterances or oracles of God. That's 1 Peter 4:11. This is recorded in Scripture. Salvation is when the reality of a human heart separates itself from sin unto God. Because the soul that sins is going to die. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Yeah. The Old Testament, because back then Peter didn't have the New Testament yet either. Okay? The Old Testament's very important. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth.
In other words, let him utter by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
All right, so amen and amen and amen. Salvation, again, is when the reality of a human heart separates itself from sin unto God. Now that's Deuteronomy 10:16.
Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart.
Yeah, not the outward, because you have to be circumcised in your heart, in your soul, your spirit. You really have to believe inside you, deep down inside you, that God's word is true, that Christ is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Then what?
Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked.
And no more be rebellious, in other words, to believe Satan, his one-world cult in Rome. Satan actually gives him the power. And no longer believe the one-world government. Don't believe them. And don't believe the media. Now, that's also Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verse 6.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of
thy... So your heart, your interior, the inner man. Then what?
And the heart of thy seed.
Your kids too. Don't you care about your kids? Don't flee to false religions because you don't want to face up to the true word of God. The true word of God is quick and powerful and give you the power to be able to keep the commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
Yeah, that you might have eternal life. So salvation is the result from the work of God's Spirit in your heart. Not the mere external efforts to conform to his law, because your external efforts are of no value if you don't have the tree grown up in you from the mustard seed so powerful that your actual human body begins doing the things that God has commanded you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Okay, so the Greek word is logos, which means the word. These important sayings are, or messages, especially supernatural ones here. The Apostle Paul uses the word to encompass the entire Old Testament. The entire Old Testament. The Jews received the very words of the true God. Deuteronomy 4:1.
Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you.
And then verse 2.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you.
Yeah, you can't keep them unless it's in your heart. Now, also Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded
you. This is Old Testament. It's all there.
Amen.
Amen. That's what advantage the Jews had of you Gentiles. The gospel was given first to the Jew, and then you. So you're in on the skin of your teeth. Okay?
Amen.
The first church was in Jerusalem. It was 3,000 Jews were saved on top of the 120 of them that were in the upper room. That's 3,120 of them. Amen?
Amen.
And they were all Jews. So don't knock the Jews, people. Be grateful that they delivered the oracles to you.
Amen.
You are just very fortunate that they fell away. But now they're coming back to try to straighten you Gentiles, you idol worshippers, out. Okay, now go ahead.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it.
So you're not supposed to just have the word in your head, but you have to have it in your heart. You must be born again of the Spirit. You must be spiritual so that eventually when the Spirit of God grows up to the fullness of the stature of Christ in you, that your actual body begins doing everything that the Lord says. It's very important because it's for your very eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So hang on to them with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength so that you can go to heaven. Okay, now Mark 12:24.
And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures?
Because you don't know the Scriptures. You don't know the Old Testament, because that's the Scriptures they had back then. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be knocking the Old Testament like these false prophets tell you that doesn't apply anymore. Ye are liars who say such things. Then what? And also that you can sin. All right? God, what kind of judgment would there be if there was no sin? Amen?
Amen.
God would be a hypocrite himself, because he said he's going to judge all sinners. Supposed to be Christian sinners, such there's no... You say there's no such thing. They are. They are sinners, and if they sin, they can't go to heaven. Okay? How much more plain could it be? Then continue.
Ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God.
Yeah, the power of God will give you this big tree that grows up into you. In other words, the fullness of the stature of Christ by the Holy Spirit in you, to where your body is actually obeying the Spirit in you. Amen?
Amen.
The carnal, the natural body is doing what the Holy Spirit says to do inside you. Okay, then Luke 16:29.
Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets.
Yeah, Abraham's preaching the gospel here. Amen?
Amen.
They got Moses and the prophets. Okay, then what?
Let them hear them.
Let them hear. You better hear them. Okay? Amen. Because God didn't do all this sending prophets and Christ himself and then on Moses and then all the apostles and all this word and all of us preachers. What more do you want? What kind of excuse do you believe that you're going to be able to give the Lord at the judgment bar of God that you didn't now? Okay? Then John 5:39.
Search the Scriptures, for in them ye
think... The Scriptures, the Old Testament. Search the Scriptures, Jesus is saying. Then what?
For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me.
That testify that I'm the Savior of all mankind. That I'm the Creator of the heavens and the earth. That I'm the Creator of everything in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the Jews were never guaranteed salvation without repentance. Just because they were Jews. Isaiah 55:6-7.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Yeah, he'll abundantly pardon, but he will not pardon you if there's sin on your soul. Well, this is Old Testament. Now when the Lord is living in you, and he's grown up to you, and you've tasted how the power of God and everything, and then you think you can depart from him, the Bible says there remains no more repentance for you, okay?
Amen.
And I've read that scripture many times. I've had it read. All right, praise the Lord. Now, this is the time for salvation. You say, I'm going to wait. No, if you say, I'm waiting, that means you're rejecting the Lord. And there isn't anything worse that you could do than that, than to reject the truth. So receive Christ now with his Father by the Spirit in you, and you'll be saved if you continue on in well-doing. And the Bible says that the Spirit in you will give you the power to do so. And just keep growing until your flesh is doing what the Spirit says. Okay, say these words to the Lord. Say, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. All that call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved, provided they continue on. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord and share and tell him four different ways that they can receive a copy of this program, number 419. Please specify whether you want a CD or audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Well, the great speckled bird is actually the symbolic of the Holy Spirit with every nationality, race, religion, but those that it can be those of former religions that repent and become saved. And that's of every color of person, red, white, yellow, black, red, so on. So here I am with J. D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet to sing for you the great Speckled Bird.
What a beautiful thought I am thinking concerning the great Speckled Bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God's holy word. Desiring to lower her standard, they watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. I am glad that I learned of her meekness. I am glad that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing, on the face of our Savior to look. When he cometh descending from heaven on a cloud as he rides in his blood, I'll be joyfully carried up to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird.